sleep night.
There is a boundary that marks the seen from the invisible, a veil separating the well-lit world of the familiar from another place, less easily known. We might try to escape, but try as we may, we are pulled back, only to find ourselves more heavily shackled in the shadows. Eero may look like your typical teenage boy, but everyone in town knows he has a secret. But so does the town he lives in. For what Eero knows, he faces oblivion in the darkness of deep night. Tonight, Bone House by Kendra Fanconi.
When I say something, there it is. The sentence ends and the next one starts. They don't go around in a circle. One goes after another. I lay these sentences end to end, like laying a road. When I talk, I am not talking about anything, but towards something. There is no good road out of the town where I grew up. The closest town to us is long distance over bad roads along the number one highway. If you ask someone there about us, they'll say they see one of our townsmen when he comes for supplies, but mostly we keep to ourselves. They'll say only good folks live here. There is no story to the contrary they can pass along, so you won't have heard of us before now. Maybe you have driven through the prairies on the number one. By now, you are a long way off. Hopefully, this story is long enough to reach you. If it does, you can pass it on. If everybody tells everybody else, I'll be better off. This story is the secret of this town. The first time I run away, I run right back. I get caught halfway on a barbed wire fence, and two old farmers find me. They lead me home. They stay outside while I eat in the kitchen. I hear them in the yard until I fall asleep. I open my eyes. It's morning. I am in my bed, and the old farmers are gone. The sun is up. Everyone is in the barn. I should hightail it down there. Instead, I go to M's. Now, M is really M. Zena. We still use the old names, though most of them are falling apart by now. M's is one of them. She runs the diner, and I'm in love with her. She is someone in between a grandma and a girlfriend, which means if I were littler, I would crawl up on her lap and put my nose on her neck. And if I were bigger, I'd pull her onto my lap and put my chin on her head. As it is, I eat pancakes and M talks. That way both our mouths are busy. The pancakes are good. But the coffee tastes like slew.
Hey!
Ah!
Watch your mouth.
Why? Doesn't it, Em? Good morning, Em.
Must be midnight. If it were morning, then you'd be at your chores.
No one woke me for chores.
I'll bring you pancakes.
Last night, I tried to run away.
Well, Eero, oh, it shouldn't be such a thing now. I can tell you, the founders of this town were all runaways.
They were?
Mm-hmm. It's my grandfather left the old country first. Landed in Newfoundland, put on his shoes, and walked 1,000 miles.
What stopped him?
Well, his feet got sore. So, he set a while here, with his feet in the creek. He had to soak his shoes to get them off.
I like to imagine a walk like that.
The soil here looks so good, you could sprinkle it on ice cream. He wrote that in a letter to his brother, and the men started coming. Oh, they were ornery cusses, but they hammered themselves together till they stuck. We are the timber and the pegs of this town, so if you pull one of us out, the whole thing crashes down. You're going to say, well, folks die, and yes, they do. We lose some, and that's a blow. It hits us the same way a spring storm shakes a barn. But the barn itself doesn't get up and wander away. This town is here because I pour coffee and you eat pancakes. That's the secret of this town. You and me are holding it together. Hero, you got a job to do.
I took a bite so big my cheeks hurt. It meant I understood. Em slid 3 more pancakes on my plate. I had to finish them quick. I had chores. I had school. I had to help in the fields. I had to grow up, grow crops, improve the well, harvest and butcher. I had a new barn to raise. I had my parents to bury and children to sire. I had to raise them right and marry them off. I had to lose my hair and get a hat and become an old farmer. I'm off now, Em.
We'll be seeing ya.
I heard you ran away last night, Hero.
Oh, yes, sir.
How come?
I just had an itch.
Now, if you had a mosquito bite and it itched, would you scratch it?
No, I wouldn't. Doesn't help to scratch an itch. You should slap it.
Ah! There you go, boy. That should cure you.
We have a preacher in town, but we listen to the old farmers. They have seen everything. The Bible, as far as we can tell, happened over in a desert with sand dunes and olive trees. That's far off from us. If there is a question in town, we take it to the old farmers. They take their answers from the land. Everything is flat here. No person is different from any other person. We eat the same and sleep and wake the same. We plant together and harvest together. And the old farmers tell us what to do next. Now I'll tell you about the second time I ran away. It's plowing time. We boys are sent ahead into the furrows to pick out stones. We pitch them over the fence and into the prairie grass. The men are behind with the horses. The tractor is rusting by the barn. So, I am working at it. All the boys are.
There's a little one. There's two. There's three. There's one, two, three, four.
Hey, look at him. What are you doing, Hero?
Same as you. Pitching rocks.
Nuh-uh. We are hauling out the biggins. You're just messing with pebbles.
Sure I am. If you let a small rock in the ground, it's gonna grow like a potato. And then the next year, it would be a rock as big as your head. Pebbles are little rock seeds.
Is that for real?
I figured it out. Makes sense, don't it?
Don't be a cuss.
Ah! Hey, that hurt.
You're lucky it wasn't a rock.
You dumb cuss.
Hey!
Hey, Hero, where are you going?
Hero, come back.
I dive through the fence and run. The boys aren't far behind me. The men aren't far behind them. The ladies are worrying the railing off the porch. I don't get any further than the buck brush.
Where are you going?
Old Pavel has my arm. The others walk ahead.
You wonder if there's something out there for you. Why shouldn't we let you go find out? Let's think about that. Say you leave. You're gone. Only one. All the other boys are left wondering what you're doing out there while they do your chores. They'll picture you in Saskatoon taken up with movie stars. Yeah. Another will follow you. And the ones who are left now, well, they do double the work. So they go too. And when the boys are gone, they'll get to the men. We'll lose our men. And what happens to this town with no boys and no men? Yeah, well, the crops don't go in the ground, and they don't come out, and the fences will fall, and the cows will wander. And when snow comes, the roof caves, and we are left bare to the sky, us old men, and the good women and the little babes in their arms. That's how this town will die. Is it fair for one boy to wander and kill the whole town? You think about that.
We went back to the fields. That year, you could shoot a rifle down the furrows. They were so straight. That year, instead of golden, the wheat turns brown. The others head home for dinner. I sneak off towards the sick horse stable. Till my sister, Una, calls me. You can almost hear her from there, can't you? I don't pay her any mind. I keep walking. Una talks in circles. Her sentences go round and round. Eero, time to get up. Your chores are waiting. And take that swill pail. Eero!
Those cows want milking, then come to supper. Eero!
She is surly on account of the drought and the grasshoppers. These things don't fuss my father. There is a Finnish word for the thing he has. Sisu. Sisu is what keeps you sitting in the sauna. Downright cussedness. He has it. Sitting in the sauna, sausages are curing in the smoke by his head, and he doesn't budge. When I get to the stable door, my father is waiting.
Eero?
Yes, sir.
When you see a sky like that, what does it mean?
I look up. One of the clouds is a horse. Anyone could see that. It is flying in the wind.
A horse.
Now, around here they tell us to learn from the animals. When you see a bush rabbit dozing, it is too hot to be in the fields. If your dog takes a bite out of your neighbor's dog, your two families better eat together that night. Better to eat together than to eat each other. An animal will teach you that.
A horse has got secret wings.
I look at that horse in the sky and tell him what it means.
Maybe I got wings too, I don't know about. But if I knew how to work them, I'd fly too.
He puts his hand on my shoulder so hard my heels sink in the ground.
A cloud like that means rain.
Suddenly I'm in the dirt.
Cover up the hay.
Still in the dirt when he walks off. I roll on my back. The cloud that is a horse turns into a hand and points to me. I am 13 and my brain is growing curly instead of straight. I put my hand down on something in the grass. I sit up. I stand up and I'm running full tilt towards Ems. The diner is almost full up. Shucks. I order myself some pie. In the afternoon, Em serves herself a piece of pie to keep you company. She keeps it at your table and eats a forkful when she's by. A problem needs pie like a crop needs rain.
Blackberry, Eero.
Thanks, Em.
Something wrong?
Not exactly.
What's in your hand?
Fork.
Other one?
Oh, nothing.
Can I see it? A rock.
Look on the other side, Em. That rock's got a seashell pressed right in it.
Oh.
See?
My, must be a fossil.
That is a rock from a hayfield caught thinking about the ocean. Oh. I am not the only one who wants to get out of here.
Shh.
Shoot, I didn't mean...
Eero, I am going to tell you something now, and you are going to listen, so shut your yap and open your ears.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about a rabbit. Now, a rabbit is a living thing, because it's either real good at hiding or real good at running. You better be good at one or the other, Eero. Hiding or running.
That is my last bite of pie. I go to hide that rock in the sick horse stable. I have a collection hidden in the straw. See, we got stone fruit around here. Nothing unusual there. Anyone I know can eyeball a low branch of cherries and predict the size of the pie. The first cherry I ate this year had a triple pit in it, stuck together like a snowman. I got another pebble, winks at you like an eyeball. And when M had a gallstone removed, well, the doctor didn't want it. Then there's a chunk of shale in the shape of the state of Texas. My brother had it in his hand and was going to chuck it. Did you know that if you took the state of Texas and flipped it up, the tip of it would nearly touch our town? I caught that rock midair, and my hand stung till supper. I lay them all out. It isn't enough to look at them. I want to sit on them like a hen. I don't tell anyone about my collection. Of course, everyone finds out.
Now, what's that you got?
I show him. Old Seppo puts each rock in his palm and closes his fingers. This man has been a dairyman all his life, so he can't hardly know a thing without milking it a little.
What do you think?
You think they're all special. But what matters, boy, is that they're all stones.
Old Seppo pours them into my hands.
Come with me.
We walk out to the edge of the field.
The stones don't belong in a horse stable. Throw them in the coulee. Now get home where you belong.
Instead, I wait in the grass till sundown. The third time I run because the horizon is the only thing left alive. Maybe they were watching me from their windows. I reach the buffalo rubbing stone. It's a decent place to catch my breath. I'm crouching, watching. The old farmers are coming for me. They give me a whooping. You hold your hind tight, you don't much feel it. Old Pavo helps me walk back to his hen house. We watch his chicks grappling in the dirt.
You see them chickens?
Yes, sir.
A chicken you can cook up before it's born or after it's dead. Useful creature. Some things can be real useful dead. But everything is useful.
Dead folk here are treated nice. The town is careful about making sure that dead is dead. At a funeral, they always tie a thread around one finger of a dead man. If it swells up, he's alive after all. And you put him back in bed instead of in the ground. If they do put a body in the ground, it is a big deal and a good time.
The graveyard is in the center of town, and it's so crowded that in order for a body to go in the ground, one's got to come out. We take the one who has been under the longest, so there's a good chance the meat's off the bone. The skull we take off and put up in the rafters of the church. If you look up to heaven, that's what you see. Then the bones go in the bone house. Following the drought, we had a summer so wet the seed molded instead of sprouting. Then that winter, the snow was so deep you could step over the power lines, so we lost some cows. The next year was pretty much the same, except worse even, because the silos were empty. Now it's harvest, and already there is food rationing and arguments about it. By now, I am almost 16. My thoughts are sunk inside me. I am only hands and feet. I might have stayed that way if it weren't for the Rat King. I'm done with my chores. With fewer cows, it doesn't take long. I'm walking back by the tack room. I want you to see it now, like I saw it then. These rats had been running about, scrabbling for food, and they got themselves in a tangle. Imagine a pack of rats with their tails in a knot in the center. And they were trying to run, but tied together they couldn't get anywhere, and it didn't take long till they collapsed from the effort. It happens. It does happen, often enough that someone can remember that they heard it happened once, before they were born. Someone remembered that it's called a Rat King. Yes, every rat was dead. The rats had become their own trap. I wanted to tell someone. The kitchen ladies are waiting for the carrots to cool so they can finish cooking for Chicken Tuesday. They are sitting on the back stoop of the hall, thumbing their calluses. I hold up the Rat King, and their eyes darken. When I leave with it, they follow me into town. On the way, I hear that sound. I was thinking Una might faint from seeing the Rat King. But she wipes her hands. I am walking to the center of town with my family behind me and the kitchen ladies behind them, and in front of me, I have the Rat King. With everyone watching, I lay the Rat King down. There wasn't anywhere else to put it. It belongs at the center of everything, the way a belly button does. The boys and the girls and the ladies and the men and the old farmers draw in around the tangle of rats. No one speaks. You can tell the temperature by how many times a cricket chirps in a minute. It is getting hotter.
You see those rats? You want us to die like that?
I pick up the Rat King. And I put it on my head. It was time. It was the sign. They had to let me go. I am sure you cannot guess what happened then. Old Pavo gives the Rat King to his barn cats, and it is gone by morning. I go to Em's.
I'd like some pie.
Out of pie.
You can't be.
You best be going now.
I'll have a coffee.
Out of coffee.
We'll make some.
Iro, there is nothing I can do.
That is the fourth time I run away.
The fourth time I would run low and hide myself in the grass. Like a rabbit, hiding, or running, or both. The fourth time they take away my shoes, they beat the bottoms of my feet. If I couldn't walk, how could I run? The fifth time I run barefoot alongside the cows going to night pasture. Through the frozen thistles I run. They find me at dawn, standing in a fresh cow pie to keep my toes from freezing. That was the fifth time. Now five is a number you can handle. Five you can count on your hand. Six is something else. The sixth time they put me here, in the bone house. The bone house is a small stone house with a heavy door. It takes three men to push that door open. Inside, all the bones are piled up together. All the bones except the skulls, you see, which are up in the rafters of the church, like I said before. They said they would be back by noon. Well, for that long, I could sit sideways on a picket fence. With it so dark in here, it could have been an hour that's passed, or 3 days. It could have been 40 years. It has been a long time since they went away. I went through being scared, and then bored, and then plain mad. Then curious about being with all the dead folk. I couldn't help feeling friendly with them. Stuck in here. Just like me. But not like me. I never heard of this town having one like me. I really thought about that. Nature makes a handful of funny stones. How come I am the only strange one in this town? Then too I got bored with thinking and wished they would come. I yelled the worst word I knew. And I felt good. Then after that I felt terrible. Which pretty much brings me to now. Because a minute ago, I put my hand on something. Not a bone like all the other bones here. A skull. What do you make of that? Weren't you listening? I told you, skulls go up in the rafters of the church. Now, isn't that curious that one would be in the bone house? If there had been a skull was missing from the rafters of the church, why, there would be a story about it. That is something to talk about. And there is no story. What do you make of that? Do you think this skull was accidentally, like, tossed in? Think people in this town do things accidentally? Or do you think? They never came, did they? I am the secret of this town. I gotta keep talking. When I say something, there it is. The sentence ends and the next one starts. They don't go around in a circle. One goes after another. I lay these sentences end to end, like laying a road. So when I talk, I am not talking about anything, but towards something. I will talk my way out of here. I will talk through the cracks.
I will talk over the fields and between the barbed wire. I will weave through the prairie grass and talk into the sunrise. I will talk until I get somewhere.
Bonehouse was written by Kendra Fanconi. David Baisley played Eero. Nicola Cavendish was Emcina. Frank C. Turner was Perti. Alex Diakon played Pavo, and Eric Schneider was Seppo. Mara Coward was Una, and Tom Macbeth played the father, with Christopher Murray and Ryan Beale as the boys. The script editor was Beverly Cooper. Bonehouse was produced in Vancouver by Heather Brown. The next voices heard in deep night. Which is worse, an uninvited guest who outstays their welcome, or someone, something, we invite across the threshold and then refuses to leave? And even worse, what if Mom finds out the guest from beyond the veil has moved into the bedroom closet?
Go away, Brittany! I'm busy plotting my revenge!
I only have an hour. It's time to reveal the means by which I will get Kalzakian. The Necronomicon! Literally, the Book of Dead Names. A nasty little grimoire whose sole purpose is the summoning of supernatural forces. I'm amazed that such an unspeakable tome of evil is available on Amazon.com, 1998, shipping not included. One can only conclude that the World Wide Web is a force for evil. Back when my father was alive, he used to read me H.P. Lovecraft at bedtime. He was a bit of a sicko, but I remember those stories well. At night, under the covers, shivering in fear at the names of Cthulhu, Yog-Sothoth, and the many tentacled Mogloth Kaglonitron. Their nightmare pseudopods rose up from the inky pool of my subconscious, oozing suckers pulling me down, down, down into the murky obsidian depths of crazy evil badness, until finally they became real to me. They are real. And, with the help of the Necronomicon, they are now mine to command. I wanted my supernatural revenge on Mr. Kalzakian for humiliating me. So, it was time to summon up a demon lord to eat his soul.
The thing from beyond my closet takes up residence in the deep night next week.
A new mix for summer
on CBC Radio 1.